From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
My aunt, who I thought of as my mother, had a massive stroke in 1980 on Christmas morning.
Judy Gavatos was told by doctors that her aunt was essentially brain dead. She assumed she wouldn't be put on life support.
When we came back, we found that she was hooked up to all of these machines. And when I asked the doctor, they said, really, we have to do this because the laws are such that if we turn these machines off, it's tantamount to murder. And we watched her in a state she never wanted to be in, and it was beyond sad.
After her aunt died, Judy started a campaign to push for a change in the law that would have allowed her aunt to die the way she wanted. That law eventually passed and contains provisions we take for granted now.
You can turn off a ventilator. You can say, I want intubation or I don't. So you can choose, I want to do this and I don't want to do that.
Judy herself has survived cancer 2 times. If the cancer comes back, she says she wants to be able to choose how to die. Now Judy is taking her end-of-life activism a step further. Judy lives in Wilmington, Delaware, where state lawmakers recently introduced a bill that would allow terminally ill patients to use medication to end their lives, to pick up a lethal prescription they can take on their own terms. New Jersey passed a so-called aid in dying law this year. If Delaware follows suit, it will be the 9th state, along with Washington, D.C., to decriminalize assisted suicide. Why have some states shifted in how they think about end-of-life options? And why are people like Judy pushing for laws like these? Today on The Why, choosing how to die. Judy joined us to share her story. In 2015, you got sick. How did you know something was wrong?
I am one of these people who loves yoga, so I would go to class early in the morning and went downstairs, had breakfast, and went over to yoga. And I saw this lump on my shoulder that hadn't been there a half an hour before. And I thought, I must have gotten bitten. What the heck is this? Went to class, came out. The next day, it wasn't going away. So I took myself to the doctor, and he looked at it and said, this is strange. And I said, yeah. And he said, is there anything else, you know, that hurts, or do you have a bruise anyplace? And I said, well, you know, I think I bumped my head the other day. I don't remember doing that, but it hurts. So he felt around the back of my left skull, and he said, oh, there's something there. So at that point, I was sent to have biopsies.
What were you diagnosed with?
I was diagnosed with a B-cell lymphoma. And the only cure for that is to do a bone marrow transplant. But I'm 75 years old, and I had a dreadful time with chemo. The first time, I was put on a drug through infusions, and it was supposed to be for a month. I made it through 3 weeks, and I was doing fine. And then I went back to see the oncologist, and he said, you're in remission, and we don't know why, but take it and go home. So I did.
And so when did it reoccur?
It reoccurred 3 years later. That would be last year. So they began chemo immediately, and I sort of had every bad reaction possible. I spiked a high fever. I was incoherent. I didn't know what I was doing. And I got something called the rigors, which is when the body, the muscles and tendons spasm simultaneously in your whole body. So I'm bouncing off the bed.
Oh my goodness.
To the point where the nurse had to lay her body on mine until they could get the Demerol into me. And she very kindly said, we've got you. It's okay. This is just side effects. It's just side effects.
What were you thinking?
I mean, I was terrified.
When you were in the hospital for that extended time, what did you miss the most?
So the number of people who could see me was absolutely restricted. And anybody who came into the room had to be completely gowned and gloved. So this is not exactly what you call a warm, healing, intimate experience with your loved ones when they all look like they just sort of stepped off walking on the moon. So I missed, you know, being touched. That was terrible. Oh, and I am a grandmother that, you know, gets down on the floor and plays, and the bedroom in my granddaughter's room is a rocket ship that we take to the moon with her brother, who plans to be, who is a little dog, and he's going along for the trip. And I missed all that. The good news is that I got remission.
Right.
So this isn't a cure, but I'm good for now.
Good.
What happens if the cancer comes back?
Well, if the cancer comes back, I will do hospice and palliative care. But, and it's a big but, the problem is that I have never been able to take any kind of painkiller. I hallucinate. I hear things, I see things, and I'm violently ill. Hospice is wonderful, but I'm aware that this stuff has never worked for me before, and so I don't see that it's likely that it'll work the way it should. So I want to have the option that I can choose the right time for me. There's a lovely poem by Mary Oliver, and she says, to be human, you must learn to do three things. To love what is mortal. To hold it against your bones, because your whole life depends on it. And when it's time to let it go, to let it go. And that's what I want to do. When it's time to let it go, I want to be able to let it go, to make that choice.
So, Judy, what was your reaction when Representative Bombeck introduced the end-of-life options bill in Delaware?
Well, for me and for lots of people like me, it's the answer to our prayers in the sense of having the option that allows us to live as fully as we can, feeling secure. Oh, I'm going to be able to have the ending I want. Just as the people who want to do every last thing, they can have the ending they want. That's the benefit of this bill. It does the greatest good for the greatest number.
So back in the 1990s, Dr. Jack Kevorkian, he helped terminally ill people in their lives through assisted suicide.
Michigan, where Dr. Jack Kevorkian, a retired pathologist, connected her to his invention, a device that first releases a drug causing unconsciousness and then a lethal dose of potassium chloride.
But the court said that he was operating outside the law and killing people. Would you have reached out to somebody like a Jack Kevorkian if there were no aid in dying laws?
Boy, that's a good question, and it's very complicated, and I have thought about this. I think that Kevorkian was raising a legitimate societal issue. In this country, we don't talk about death. We do denial of death.
Jack Kevorkian devoted his life to a debate over whether or not a person can choose to die. Critics called him Dr. Death, but supporters of physician-assisted suicide think of him as a champion.
He was going outside of the law, having this person act in a rogue way.
Many doctors agree with me, but they're intimidated to silence. I'm lucky to be in a position where I don't have to be silent.
What we're trying to do with HB 140 is to provide a safe, clear, easy way of managing your health care, just like the advanced directives provided that structure for us. And so I respect what he did, but I think that he took it too far. There was so much drama in all of that. Most of us don't want drama in death. And that turned into a circus. None of us wants that.
Did you think about going to another state where the bill has already passed in case your cancer came back and you had made this decision that you wanted the medication?
Yes, I have given that consideration, and I will continue to consider it until I know what my options are. And the problem, of course, with doing that is I want the ending of my story to be that I'm with my loved ones and my grandchildren, right, and my friends, and to have to go to another state is a very difficult choice to make, but it is probably one that I would make if I didn't have the benefits of this bill.
Mm-hmm. So you know that 30% of folks who get this medication wind up not taking it.
And I would love to be one of those folks. And if this all goes the way I want, then I would have the option of getting the prescription and the security of knowing it's there, and that the wonderful people at hospice will be able to do what they can do, and this will all go that way. But having that extra additional, oh, if this doesn't work out, then I have a very good option that doesn't scare me.
You're not scared?
I'm not scared of dying. I'm scared of suffering. I've had a fair amount of suffering in this last iteration of cancer, and I really don't want to do that again.
Judy, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Delaware's end-of-life options bill is currently in committee. Governor John Carney opposes it. New Jersey's law legalizing assisted suicide takes effect on August 1st, while members of the state's medical society are divided over whether it violates their oath to do no harm. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Ben-Yaakov and Alex Stern, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Our intern is Xavier Lopez. Tweet me at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.